Rock and roll.
Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody, welcome live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weill, sports podiatrist. All things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness. Brought to you by Global Schoolwear, styling school uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger. Lower Extremity Review, LER Magazine, and UK Health Radio. Hope everybody's enjoying the Olympics. It's such an exciting time when that comes around. We've got a great doubleheader. We've got a figure skating show. Jody Deal, he's the manager of Rainbow Sports, sporting goods and figure skating specialist. Gosh, people I've worked with for decades will be joining me, along with returning Candy Brown, a prominent figure skating coach over the years. She was my introduction to the world of figure skating once upon a time. She's a former freestyle gold medalist. She's a trainer of Olympic greats Scott Hamilton. She was Evan Lysacek's first coach. Then the sports doctor's in, throwing some Dr. Bob wisdom, your emails. Jody Deal, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Jody, give us some background on yourself and Rainbow.
Well, Rainbow was kind of been a standard around here for about 60 years as far as figure skates go. I actually shopped there when I was a kid. A lot of us skated as kids, myself included. I coached and I've been with Rainbow now for going on 20-some years now. So.
Now, Rainbow was in Naperville. But you're up in the North Shore, but Rainbow was in Naperville for years where I first met you guys. How long has it been since you haven't been in Naperville?
Oh, gosh, it's been a good 12, 14 years, I think. At least.
Wow.
It's been a while.
Yes, and I have counted on you guys when it comes to the picking the brand, and a longtime colleague of ours, John Hermata, Mr. Edge, he just retired. He was another one that I really, really counted on when it comes to choosing the right brand of boot, the proper fitting, such important factors, blades, blade pace, placements. In the world of figure skating, really is an art, isn't it, Jody?
Yeah. There's a lot of factors to deal with. It's it is unfortunately a bit of an art. Yes,
right. You know, and we're dealing many times. You know, I mentioned Candy, who's our second guest today, and the first coach of Evan Lysacek. Evan Lysacek, the 2010 men's Olympic gold medalist. He was 10 years old when I put orthotics in his skate. I'm still putting orthotics in 10-year-old skates. But the figure skating, I call them one of the, in my book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, Jody, it's one of the prodigy sports where these kids become very specialized very early. It's a real challenge. You know, we have 10-year-olds doing double jumps all day. So you're really talking about some serious athletes at early ages. It's a big responsibility.
Yeah, the sport has really changed a bit since when I was a kid as far as, you know, the emphasis on jumps and jumps only. You know, when they had figure eights, a lot of times you wouldn't do these high-level jumps until you were like 15 or 16, you know, 14. Now they just, it's younger and younger, and it can be difficult when you have multiple coaches working with kids at a high level and, you know, just keeping everything straight as far as how hard you're working the child.
Well, that's why I would always ask you and people in your world how your sports psychology skills were. Between the parents and the coaches and the kids.
Yeah, well, a little bit of it, yeah.
and the more serious the kid, the more active the... Now, Rainbow, what are the kinds of products do you guys carry at Rainbow?
We are specifically figure skating these days. We are only figure skates, boots, blades, and just figure skating, tights and dresses and stuff like that you would need for skating. We no longer are really doing much in speed or anything else, or any hockey.
Now, the late John with Rainbow, was he one of the founders?
Yeah, kind of. The place was really it was a family. It was the pro shop from a family owned ice rink back in the 50s and 60s. That's kind of how Rainbow started. And yeah, John was the owner for. Yeah, he's been involved with them. He was involved with them for like 40 years or so, 50 years, I think. Even when I was a kid, John was there. And I'm not.
Well, it's interesting in talking about some of, again, these kids and bigger, faster, stronger in every sport. We're watching the Olympics. You get a great feel for all of that action and what it takes to get there. And the idea, again, of so much jumping and so much jumping in so many ways. So we've been dealing with, on the sports medicine side, Jody, with the world of overkill in a very, very big way with some of these prodigy sports. Again, it could be gymnastics, could be figure skating. Now it's soccer, it's tennis, it's swimming, where you have 10, 11, 12-year-olds specializing very, very early, even though we tell them, everybody in sports medicine tells these kids and these families, we want you to play other sports, we want you to use different parts of the body. And that's great, unless you're a young figure skater and you want to skate 10 days a week, right?
Yeah, it's all on all the time with these young skaters, especially when they get into it.
Yes, and back in the Lysacek days, we remember, everybody said the Russians are doing it. The Russians are doing it. So whether it was very, very lighter boots, and, I go way back, George Espiteri and some of these other companies that we've dealt with. And what I always liked about you guys at Rainbow is you were never married to any one particular brand. You always made brand selection available, and there's a lot of top brands, aren't there?
Yeah, and like you say, they've changed a bit too. Like, Spiteri's were much heavier and harder. Now all the materials are so much more lightweight and heat moldable. It's changed quite a bit. And yeah, everyone's foot is a little different. How their Achilles tendon is shaped. One boot doesn't really work for everybody, and there's also personal preference. So
we have the any prominences, figure skating, you're locking the foot like in a cast. Any excessive motion is a problem, and we see rubbing on the bones in the back of the heel, rubbing on the bones on the inside of the ankle. Many times we'll have you guys punch those areas out, and the tremendous advantage of custom orthotics in this day and age for proper alignment, I can't stress that enough. Even though most of the time we're dealing with problems, something's hurting. The arch, the heel, the ankles, the knees, et cetera, et cetera. But also to the point of enhancing a performance. Where's the best place people could find out about Rainbow? Is there a website, or what's the best area to look at, Jody?
I believe we have a rainbowsports.com is our website, actually. Let me double check that. You can give us a call, Matt. You're welcome to give us a call here. Hold on one second. I can't do that. Yeah, it's rainbowsports.com.
I'm sure to keep it simple, salesman, in many instances. And again, we see...
Oh, no W in Rainbow, by the way.
The challenge many times, Evan Lysacek won the gold medal in 2010, the following month I had his mom, Tanya, on the radio show, and I was asking her a question we would hear all the time in these superstar prodigy sports, which is, how do you know it wasn't the parents' goal? Is it the kids' goal? It takes so much work, so many different areas. And Tanya Lysacek said to me, Dr. Bob, Evan had ice time at 6:20 in the morning. I never had to wake the kid up. He was always in the car with his gloves on, ready to go get him. So this was something that's always stuck with me, again, when we talk about, our second guest, Candy, who was Evan's first coach. And I would ask her, what was it about him that you really noticed so much? She said it was his desire, his attitude.
You said it perfectly. Anyone, you get early in the rink in the morning and it's just, no one's to be there. The kid that gets out of that car and gets in the rink and puts the skates on, that's the one that wants to be there. That's the one that's going to go somewhere. Absolutely.
And, again, we see a whole bunch of the younger and younger. When we go back and we think about some of these superstars, the Peggy Flemings, the Katarina Witt, the Dorothy Hamels, none of them did triple jumps, Jody.
No. Well, in Dorothy's day, the figure eights were 70% of your score.
Yes.
You know? So it really wasn't until the 70s with Janet Lynn where she didn't make the podium and people just didn't get it that they started devaluing figures and, you know.
And that's when the off-ice training became such a big deal.
Right.
And I don't know if you were watching gymnastics with the young American guy only doing the pummel host. He's sitting on the sidelines, his eyes are closed. And in the figure skating world, they were talking about visualization decades ago. I always felt figure skating was really, really one of the tremendous examples of the whole world of mental training, you know, besides the physical side, Jody.
I would agree 100%. I knew a coach in the old days. He's like, every instinct when you land a jump is just to put your hands to the ground. And it's all you can do just to stand up straight and just trust it's all going to happen. It's honestly skating.
Yes. You know, and then again, in the sports podiatry world, the role of the foot world, we talk about the tremendous variances, whether this young boy or girl has high arches, whether they have flat feet, whether they have excessive flexibility, whether they're much tighter. And sometimes we would talk about, in my opinion, the GOLD program was a custom boot because you guys are all about proper fit. And then I'd say to you guys, leave the alignment to me. You know what I mean? With your heat molding and whatever. Because neutral position, proper alignment orthotics-wise is a whole different story. It's another medical art. And that's the combination when I would be talking to serious skaters or their coaches or parents. You know, when we were talking about, what are your thoughts on stock boots versus custom boots, Jody?
Well, stock boots can work. A lot of times, you know, and I know John Hermada was very big on it, was, you know, a lot of boots where, you know, a child may not need a custom just yet, but they'll do a special makeup where they'll make something wider in the front and narrower in the heel. Honestly, most people could use it to a certain degree, you know, and obviously with the orthotics, lining up the ankle so it can handle more weight, everybody improves, you know, with a good
orthotic.
Yes,
you know, when we can dictate. You know, when you're pushing off, the foot's got to line up. If it doesn't line up, you're pushing off with weakness. So many times, even over the years, four decades, give or take a few weeks, Jody. You know, where I never had a coach call me and say, you messed up their balance.
No.
What I have had is coaches call me over the years and say, I can't believe the difference in this kid's technique. They're landing so much softer, they're quicker, they've got more efficient edging. And this is what we've been on this quest in the world of figure skating over the years. And in my book, I talk about two exercise concepts I want all these families and coaches to incorporate. And number one is strengthen their feet and ankles. Pay attention to strengthening feet and ankles. And number two is work balance. We see too much running and jumping off ice, Jody, where these kids doing 100 jumps a week, and now they're running stairs and running sprints. This is a concern we really, really have. I'm sure you see it all the time.
Well, and, you know, you bring up all the orthotics and stuff, and then a lot of these people are doing the off-ice without any kind of orthotic. You know, a lot of kids' feet are getting messed up just in, you know, I see a lot of sandals and stuff, but, yeah, it's very different now as far as the off-ice jumping.
We're a big Birkenstock fan. Well, this is the thing. The more serious your son or daughter is, the more you really, really want to pay attention to, again, the proper choosing of a boot, the proper fitting of a boot, the whole world of blades, placement, all of these things. I have counted on people like Jody for over all of these decades with great, great success. And this becomes very, very important. And the more serious your son or daughter is, the more we want to pay attention to, again, what's the foot mechanics of this kid? Many times we'll see that foot type is inherited 75% of the time. Gee, you know, the kid's bow-legged, just like his dad. You know, he's got flat feet, just like his mom. You know, the young girl's developing hammer toes, just like her mom and her grandma. So this is why we tell skating families to include podiatry so that you can pay big attention to those foot mechanic factors when we're interested in one of the two big things we're all interested in, right, Jody? Number one, can we prevent problems and injuries? And number two, when indicated, can we enhance performance? And this is when we've always counted on Rainbow to be one of my team members when we were talking about so many of these other factors. Even though, again, I know that you guys would be in the middle many times of, you know, having to be that paying attention to that sports psychology, because we got, if there's complaints, good luck to you, right?
Well, yeah, it's hard to keep, you know, parents can't look at their feet enough. I mean, you can't ask enough questions. You know, no one wants to take any time off, so we just try to make sure everybody has quality.
You know, I got news for you, Jody. 50% of the knee problems I have seen over the years in girl skaters, 50% are foot-related. And this is one of the keys. If the feet don't hurt, many times they are ignored. And in the world of skating, again, the mechanics of a young girl is different, especially once they start going through puberty. So, again, you want to really pay big attention to posture and some of these factors. And the more, again, the more serious they are, the more you want to be paying attention, including places like Rainbow. Jody, give me again the website again of Rainbow. People can find out about it, you and everything you guys do.
It's Rainbow, then a W, rainbowsports.com.
Now, it's Rainbow, R-A-I-N-B-O, right?
Yep, no W in Rainbow. That's a... There's been, no one quite knows for sure. They've been talking about that since the 60s.
Think I got it wrong for 20 years. Jody, hold on. It's a sports doctor, everybody. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharky Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharky is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharky talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctors In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Hey everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody. We are back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Hey, it's our figure skating show. Candy Brown
The first figure skating coach I ever had the pleasure to meet years and years ago, the rest is history. She was a prominent figure skating advocate herself and coach, former freestyle gold medalist. And she was involved in the training of Olympic greats Scott Hamilton. She was Evan Lysacek's first coach. Candy Brown, welcome back to the Sports
Doctor. Thank you, Dr. Weil. It's always wonderful to talk to you.
Great. Candy, give us some background on yourself and coaching over all these years. Again, Candy, I met her at Sports Fitness Institute, the late, great Angelo D'Agostino. I'd see him on Lake Ellen flying around the ice, and Candy yes. was a trendsetter. She paid big attention that these kids needed to be stronger, and she was a bit, very involved in their mental coach. Give us some background, Candy.
Well, I, you know, was really fortunate that my coach, Mr. Hans Gershweiler, was just one of the top trainers in the world. He was a 1947 world champion, and I was, you know, just really granted an enormous amount of skating knowledge and technique. And he was very strict, but really helped us become the best that we could be. And I was just so taken with that, that I thought I would love very much to be able to, after my competitive career was finished, to be able to go on and do the same for other children. So I started at Bowling Green University and was in physical education and health education, really to broaden my education.
How old were you, Candy, during your competitive world time? When did you start?
Oh, I was 5 years old.
Right, it's like the old days. Yeah.
Yeah, so through college. So when I got to Bowling Green, I, you know, got very, very involved with the figure skating club there, and I taught Scott Hamilton for the 4 years that I was there. So that was a, you know, wonderful opportunity to, you know, work with somebody that was really dedicated and loving the skating and coming up and just inspired.
Such a great champion, Olympic champion, everything about yeah. Fantastic.
Yes. Yes, down to earth. And, you know, I had skaters from Chicago that lived with his family that came to train with me in Bowling Green. And so, you know, we really had a very wonderful connection. His parents were professors. And so it was really a full circle. It was wonderful. And then when I went to Chicago, my family had been transferred because I was really from the New York, New Jersey area. That was where my training was. I was very fortunate to have a real wonderful group of talented young skaters that really had the dedication, interest, discipline, and family backing to, you know, want to be competitive skaters. So that, you know, really really took off to quite an elite group of children. You know, I was enjoying teaching all levels, and really anyone that had the eagerness to learn. I loved being able to, you know, foster that and develop that, you know, teaching them technique, but encouragement and fitness and goal setting and confidence building. You know, it was many of the things that are the guarantees that you can walk away from skating and take with you for life that I thought were very, very important. And then, you know, the icing on the cake is, you know, you have children that really want to go the distance and have that wherewithal to, you know, want to be involved in the, you know, heavy training. For that, I wanted to make sure that I had my team in place, which is where you and I ended up, you know, working so beautifully. You know, I knew that skating alone was not enough. We needed the fitness, the off-ice, the ballet, the theater, the sports psychology, and their feet to be in, you know, really optimal.
Pardon the pun. Yes, pardon the pun. But again, you were the, you know, you were a trendsetter in so many areas, and you fell across the late, great Bob Guida, one of the true champions of high-performance training, injury prevention, exercise philosophy, et cetera. You clicked into that world with, again, the idea that these kids, as they become even more competitive with more jumping and more jumping and more jumping, it started to become a real, real challenge.
And again, you mentioned you were 5 years old. You're working with these young kids who wanted to specialize very early. That's the chapter in my book, Candy. I call it the prodigy sports, where in sports medicine, everybody in sports medicine tells families and the kids, we want you to play different sports, do different parts of the body, and that's great unless you're a figure skater or a gymnast. or tennis or soccer, where you're 10 years old, you want to do it 10 days a week, and the physical challenges and the mental challenges. And again, you paid big attention. You know, when I first met you, you had some of your figure skaters visualizing all those years ago. Medicine didn't know how to spell the word visualizing, I think, in those days.
Well, you know, you really needed to keep the children, their bodies safe, so they could tolerate the heavy training if that was the direction they wanted to go in, and make sure that they were healthy throughout their whole career. So, you know, with that, then, you know, you could give them a training program that they would develop and could go as far as they, you know, wanted to.
So, I'm thinking as I'm talking to you, whether it's the late, great Angelo D'Agostino, whether who you just saw, Madeline Stamen, the newlywed, who skated with Cirque du Soleil hanging from trapezes, to Chloe Ryan, who went on to be a solo ice dance champion, to Lysacek. When I asked you on the radio 100 years ago, I said, you know, what was it about Evan? That you spotted it, that however old he was, 9.5 or 10 years old. And what was it you said that you paid such attention to then?
Well, it was so evident to me. I saw him out on the ice, and he was just trying to figure out how to work some of these skills actually on his own. And the passion of which, you know, he was going at it was just absolutely outstanding. And, you know, when I later did start working with him, if I asked him to accomplish something, you know, the following day, he did not leave the rink until it was done that very day. And, you know, he always met me at 150%. So, I mean, that never changed.
You know, it's funny. After the Olympics, I had Tanya, his mom, on, who really, you know, supervised his whole career in so many ways. I asked her, and again, he became the best in the world. I can't believe we just celebrated the 14th anniversary of him winning the, not that I want to age us or anything, winning the gold medal. And I said to Tanya, you know, how did you know that it wasn't your goal, that it was his goal? How did you clue into that? She said, you know, Dr. Bob, Evan had ice time like 6:15 in the morning, whatever it was. I never had to wake the kid up. He was always, there he was in the car with his gloves on. He had... And that's you used that intensity, that focus he had, and you loved it, working with some of these really, really fantastic. That's why I always asked you how your sports psychology skills were, dealing with parents and the this whole, the boot fitters and the doctors and all of this. How was your sports psychology skills, Candy? I thought you did great.
You know, when somebody like Evan has that relentless work ethic, it is very exciting because, you know, you're such a good team to, you know, make headway. And you know, his mental and physical training and discipline.
Nobody was tougher than Madeline Stamen. Every time she had her foot issues, man. And every time one of the champions just came up, we were dealing with something or another or whatever, and she became... somebody who she skated on those cruise ships. I said to her, don't they need a podiatrist when she was on the, going to the Caribbean? And then again with Cirque du Soleil, but she was one of the toughest kids. That's why I had her in my article on the Olympics. There she was, man, on the cover as a 12-year-old.
Absolutely. And, you know, her success came, you know, later, and she was with international skaters when she, you know, was auditioning to, you know, get these parts. And, but again, it was just that consistent dedication and, you know, family that, you know, was willing to, you know, support all her interests and, you know, hang in there for the number of years. But again, it's a process, you know, it's nothing is instant and you have to enjoy the ride for
I'm trying to remember as I'm talking to you, our first national champion. What was her name? The young...
Caroline Lee.
Right. I knew you. Yes. Caroline Lee. Well, I was so excited. It was the first kid of yours that won a national championship. Was the late, great Angelo. How old was he when you started working with him? He became an alternate behind Brian Boitano in the Olympics, wasn't he?
Yes.
He was another fabulous talent.
Absolutely. And, you know, it was wonderful because, you know, not only did he have a wonderful international career, he also went on the cruise ships and, you know, did a lot of the directing as well as the skating. And I had him come back to the Glenelg, Naperville area to do some choreography for me. And I'd say, oh, Angelo, would you mind skating that program for the skaters so they could follow
right. you? Yes, I remember. He was the coordinator on the cruise ships. And he was a tremendous educator in so many ways in the world of, you know, the late, great, what was her name, the late, great choreographer that you worked with all those years?
Ricky Harris.
These pioneers of the industry and over the years. And do you still see, I know you're still coaching now in the Dallas area, aren't you?
Yes, I am. So
you're still on the ice.
Oh, absolutely. I can't imagine it any other way, but I was so fortunate because two of my former Chicago students, Morgan Bell and Mariah Bell, were at a rink that was very close to where I ended up locating. And Morgan was a national competitor, and she was Anna from the Frozen Disney on Ice, and Mariah Bell was the 2022 national champion. So it was kind of full circle that, you know, we ended up back in the same building, and they were, you know, hoping to really develop a program there. And, you know, I know the grassroots are incredibly important, you know, giving as many young children opportunities to, you know, have the knowledge and skill development and technical development.
Oh, we've had so many great people on over the years on the radio show, whether it was Sheila Thielen, a master's coach, and her vestibular training systems, and Kim Ryan with her Spinergy, and the great ballet for figure skaters with Annette, and Signe and her particular off-ice training program. There's so many great people. I mean, there's not much of a bigger winter sport on television popularity than the figure skating, still to this day.
Well, you know, one of my students from Chicago, Dana Sivak, is now the registered dietitian for U.S. figure skating. You know, and that was also another thing.
Oh, you got to get her to come. Yeah, you got to get her to come on the Sports Doctor. We definitely want to get her. And we're going to talk more about all of this. We're talking with Candy Brown, longtime prominent figure skating coach in so many different areas. And we'll be right back at the Sports Doctor. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com.
If you live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. Live from Chicago with the Sports Doctor. I'm continuing my conversation with long-time sports medicine colleague, Candy Brown, in the world of figure skating. You know, we were talking, Candy, also with our friend Jody from Rainbow Sports, who was my first guest. We were talking about, the incredible physical challenges in the world of figure skating. We mentioned, the Peggy Flemings and the Dorothy Hamills. We'd probably throw you in. We don't know if any of these ladies did triples. Now you got some of these young girls maybe doing quad jumps. The tremendous physical challenges, boy, I'll tell you, we're on the edge on how physical it's gotten, including synchro.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I don't think that many of my skaters would have made it as far as they did without that orthotic in their skate. And I will include myself in that, wear them.
Yeah, what's the date on your orthotics? What does it say, 1982 or something? I'm trying to Yes, one of the exciting areas that Candy and I really, really helped pioneer, again, exactly, which was in the beginning, almost all the time we were using orthotics, because there were problems. There was arch pain, there were knee troubles, there was ankle problems, Achilles, et cetera, et cetera. What we really got excited about over the decades was the enhancing performance side, better edging, jumping higher, landing softer, all because of alignment. We're talking about this all the time in the particular world. Sometimes change takes a long time. But that's something that you and I have been very excited about, Candy?
Yes. Well, and, it worked so well for me that my own daughters, who were nationally ranked tennis players and Division I college tennis players, they both needed them too. And, the different times.
No, it's amazing. I always was, when I had you on the radio in between, and I had both girls, your daughters, Christine, what's your other daughter's name?
Brittany.
Right. And I said, how'd they end up tennis players? This is what I kept on asking you. I couldn't figure it. And you said, hey, listen, this is because as a mom, I was hands-off. Let them do what they want to do. Again, just as important, balance and stability in a sport. You got to tell them that I said hello in that world. But you were always in the area. Your whole life has been with these kids and these challenges on both the physical and mental side. And again, we don't want to downplay. You were such a pioneer in rest and recovery, where we saw that things were getting out of hand. And again, the mental challenges of trying to enhance recovery, relax, visualize. Talk a little bit about how that's always been a big part of your world in training these kids.
Well, I think that, it is something that you need to teach them, through your daily training, so that becomes, an asset that they can naturally fall back on when they're in competitive situations. They grow up with it and they're well versed in it. So, it gives them that, added confidence and strength of knowing that they can, have the ability to go out in front of judges or a large crowd and trust their training. And the training includes, a lot beyond just their skating. So,
how do you find the parents and coaches' cooperation? Schools, in some instances, we had these kids of skaters of yours. We were in special programs because of the timing for lessons and all of these other things, the off-ice training, some of these other challenges. How do you find the relationships with quote-unquote overzealous parents? Again, going back to how do you handle some of these relationships? Because you always paid attention to the kids who, listen, if you don't want to be that serious, it's okay. But if you want to be great, then this is what we need to be doing. I always felt you handled that those relationships real well. What was your feedback?
Well, I tried to. if a child is going to go the distance, it really has to be from them, and you have to give them all the tools to make that success possible. and you do need the support of the family. So, you know, it's not right for everybody, and it's not that you can't enjoy skating and at a high caliber without going that distance. You know, you're better to be honest with, you know, where your sights are set, and you know that everybody's on board, because it's a team, it's a triangle. You know, the
now the choreography skating side, the art side, you know, again the dance, like, yes, our friends at, with, you know, ballet and figure skating, that whole relationship. I remember forever all of your skaters took ballet, included,
yes,
ballet. And then I got you to strengthen their feet and ankles at the same time that we mixed it in with the rubber bands and the balance beams and our old friends. By the way, Mike Andrews says hello, who's the physical trainer of so many of your skaters, again, over the years. Yeah. And with, you know, it's with some of these special kids. Did you find that the whether it was the pediatricians or the school systems, again, when you had some of these special kids, and again in the arts, and weren't you working with some different dancers and others in the world of skating that you were mentioning, I think, in between segments?
Yes, I, you know, had the very good fortune to, you know, be able to call on, you know, top choreographers and, you know, people from the dance world that were very important, because our whole program components, artistic side of skating is, you know, a large portion of our scoring system, along with the technical, of course. And again, that is something that is trained alongside the, you know, jumping
and
spinning.
What are your thoughts whether there's too much jumping compared to the, that's why I always love Jason Brown. He reminded me of Evan. He had so much style, this guy.
Yeah.
But he wasn't jumping out of ceilings. What are your thoughts and whether or not it's gone overboard with the emphasis on too much jumping? What do you think?
Well, I have to hope that there will be maybe a little bit more balance brought back into it. You know, the IJS system, the International Judging System, scoring system, has been going strong for 20 years. You know, it's a continuing education for the coaches because it's so detailed and complex. You know, so not only are the coaches needing to stay on top of the point system, you know, learning how to, you know, help your athlete to, you know, stay on top of this.
Candy, do you have, I don't know if you have a website or anything like that with your teaching, do you?
Not right now. Not
okay.
Right now.
I will bring it up to date when you're in that area. But back on that exact topic again, with some of the seriousness of all of these team components that have been part of, you know, again when we talk about the importance of safe off-ice conditioning, that's always been a real challenge for us, hasn't it?
Yes, you know, and a lot of times it's
safe and effective.
Yes, you know, they're ambitious, and you don't want to take that away from them. You just want them to be smart, you know, smart with their training. So they get the maximum benefits from it, but they don't overuse, you know, the body. And yeah, that takes a lot of balance.
Got to get these sports parents and coaches to be good listeners. I think the time would fly by with Candy Brown, one of our great, great coaches of these young athletes. We will definitely try to keep her coming back every once in a while, keep us up to today with what's happening with some of her kids. Candy, thank you so much for joining us. Hold on. Be right back with the Sports Doctors In segment, everybody.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living, a people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world, and hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.Health, reconnecting people and plants.
Introducing Hurdle Apparel Socks. Are you ready to step up your sock game? Hurdle Socks go above and beyond by adding unrivaled support and cushioning with their new Matrix Support technology. By using an incredibly thin, anti-odor, anti-perspiration, shock-absorbing web or matrix that's incorporated in between the fibers of their socks, Hurdle is introducing the first socks with an internal structure to support your feet. There is an immediate difference as soon as you wear them in terms of cushioning and support. Walk on and walk easy with Hurdle socks. Go to hurdleapparel.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Sports Doctor Is In segment, where I preview some upcoming guests and topics. I add a little Dr. Bob wisdom to the mix, answer a few emails. Great guests coming up, great topics. Trisha Fuller, the world of hypnosis, NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. Again, the mental game that we talk about so much will be joining us. And then Jim Flaherty. Jim is an octogenarian. I think he's written his fifth book. He's in his late 80s. He talks so much about attitude, about perseverance, about so many different important points of aging gracefully. And we're going to pay attention to not only the mental side, but as well as the physical side. When he joins us following week, we're going to talk with Alan McGowan. He's got a long history as a scientist. And we're going to talk the world of vaccines, some other areas involving some of these different scientific breakthroughs, both in and out of sports, in and out of medicine, with Alan when he joins us on the 14th of August. You know, for Dr. Bob, I got to talk about the Olympics. It's such a exciting time. We just saw, again, one of the biggest stories from the last Olympics. You know how much we talk about the mental game. I'm a sports doctor. Last Olympics, when Simone Biles backed out, she admitted mental concerns and problems. The twisties was a term we all learned. And here it is 4 years later, the redemption tour. She returns. Not only does she win the world championships, she gets a gold medal, the team gold medal. What a fantastic story in the whole area of sports, of life, the whole mental game, as well as so many of the different activities in sports, the drama of the Olympics, the swimming, the, you know, 1/100th of a second differences, and what does it take to become an Olympian is a topic I've talked about a lot on the Sports Doctor. As a matter of fact, one of the questions at our famous once, twice a year contest involving which sports require the best athletes was the question, what's tougher, to become a professional pro or an Olympian? Think about that, everybody. Again, the exemplary situations when you're looking at a 17, 18, 19 year old Olympian, you're listening to what Candy was just talking about, how she was 5 years old, she started figure skating, got serious from there. And how early sometimes these situations. It is not for everybody. We're loving it. A few emails. Jeff says, my 13-year-old son has been dealing with ingrown toenails on his big toes. He's had a couple of different infections. You know, Jeff, make sure, again, that you're following up with your podiatrist. That's the expertise. Salve ingrown toenails. There are various permanent procedures, which are a bandage for a couple of days. You might miss sports for a week or two. The growth area of the toenail starts under the cuticle. Unless that growth area is obliterated, sometimes with a chemical commonly used, phenol, then that edge will grow back. So this is sometimes what we see. We will see some people who've had 3-4 episodes. So you want to talk about that permanent procedure. Very successful.
probably over 90% successful. The nail stays the same. The nail looks the same. The ingrown edge is gone. Check that out. Marilyn said, I'm 40 years old. I love doing aerobic dancing, other kinds of aerobic activities. I've been diagnosed with neuroma. Neuroma, Marilyn, is a thickening of a nerve connection in the ball of the foot, most commonly between the third and fourth toes. Behind those digits is a particular connection of the digital nerves that run to all the toes. And when that connection is aggravated, it can thicken, it can scar, it can get fatter and start to get in the way. It could cause shooting pain, numbness. Often a patient will say, you know, I feel like my sock is bunched up under my toes. And that is a sign that that's what we're dealing with. It's an easy diagnosis. The podiatrist will palpate, press those areas together in order to be able to determine is that what we're dealing with. We might order a diagnostic ultrasound, which is a painless test. Test that's used to look at newborn or babies in vitro, and the diagnostic ultrasound can show that nerve, hey, it's thickened, it isn't, hey, it's neuroma or it isn't. That's the common area. We used to feel, I wrote an article 100 years ago, which was said the only permanent correction was surgery. We no longer think that. There are abilities to calm this down with a couple of cortisone injections. There are some particular holistic remedies that could be done. We had great success over the years with orthotics to properly align the ball of the foot, not allow that particular area to get excessive stress. Often it is that rotation of that flat type pronated foot causing stress that can irritate that nerve. So if your opinion is you need surgery, get another opinion. You can solve this quite often conservatively. Those neuroma. I just did a segment yesterday for my monthly The Sports Doctor Is In segment on the TV show Run With It out of British Columbia with Christine Blanchet. She's been a guest on The Sports Doctor, gosh, a dozen times over the years. I've probably done 4 years worth of segments once a month with Run With It, where we might give a little bit of advice. Yesterday, we were talking about common running injuries. We were talking about running shoes. Also was involved a couple of weeks ago with my old friend, Lou Vickery. Lou pitched for the Yankees back in the 60s. Whitey Ford was his pitching coach, pitched for the Cardinals. He had an arm injury. But Lou had a radio show called Lou in the Morning 10 years ago and down in the Panhandle, Florida, Alabama Panhandle. And for about 3.5 years, once a month, I'd come on with the Sports Doctors In segment. And again, we would talk about various areas in sports medicine like we do here on the Sports Docs. We paid big attention to overuse. He's very involved and concerned about the pitching overuse. And this particular show is about all things tennis, senior tennis. Lou himself is an early 80s champion in the world of tennis. Watch your racket on YouTube. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to my friends at BBS. See you next week. It's